You know him from the Smiley Morning Show. Now he's got his own show. Radio Theology is on ZPL. Here's Pub Pastor Darren.
Good evening, woo! Ladies and gentlemen. We are live.
Yes.
Yeah.
Radio Theology, we're back. We're live, and we're so excited to be with you in your car or your streaming device, wherever you're listening to 99.5 ZPL. We're just glad you're listening. We're going to have a great time tonight. It is Palm Sunday, my friends.
Yeah, it is.
Now, some people don't know what the church calendar is or what Palm Sunday might be.
Mm-hmm.
Producer Katie, who produces our show, is raising her hand. She is not familiar with.
Yes, no idea.
She was like, Sunday. Is that the one where they do the thing on your forehead? I was like, no, that's Ash Wednesday.
They're all related somehow.
There's a lot this week.
So Ryan, tell us, what exactly is Palm Sunday?
Palm Sunday is the Sunday before Easter,
yeah,
commemorating when Jesus came into Jerusalem.
Yes.
Riding on a donkey, which we're going to talk about in a
that's
little
true.
Bit.
Mm-hmm.
And people were throwing down palm fronds and saying Hosanna in the highest. And
that's how it got its name,
yeah,
Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday.
And it kicks off what is known as Holy Week.
Yes.
Around the world.
H-O-L-Y.
As we move towards Easter, that great holiday.
That's right.
When Jesus brought all the toys and eggs for bunnies.
Wait, no.
And chocolate.
He brought the bunnies who brought the eggs.
And no.
When everybody threw on the costumes and went from little house to little house. Wait,
I thought that was Christmas.
That's not it. I don't know. We're going to figure out what Palm Sunday is. We've got This Week in Lisa's Pregnancy. You're going to have a great thought of the night for me. I don't know if it's going to be great, but it's going to be
gonna
epic.
It's going to be great. No, own it, man. It's going to be epic.
I'm going to blow your mind.
This is Radio Theology with Pub Pastor Darren on 99.5 ZPL.
My wife, Julie, and I, we flew in yesterday from spring break. We're down to Anna Marie Island in Florida, and we planned the whole trip to get back in time so we can go to Smiley Prom. And then Delta Airlines was like, hey, I see your plan. Guess what? I'm going to raise you a big fat of ruin it.
Yeah.
Dang.
It was tough. It was tough, guys.
You had like
was
20...
it Delta's fault or was it maybe some tornadoes or something?
Why would you bring
weather?
It was a Delta tornado, actually.
Why would you try to bring reason into this and ruin
Delta
my
branded tornado?
My anger about this trip, Lisa.
I'm a woman. I think that's my job, right? Is to dispel all anger.
Our anger. That's it. And
never mind.
More.
I'm mad. Delta, come on.
Anyway,
tell us what happened.
You had like 43 people you were traveling with, too, right?
We had early wine and more party of 11.
That's a big size.
I love walking into a restaurant and not having a reservation and say, we need a table for 11. And just watching the people's expression like,
That's going to be a 2-hour wait.
We can see you in 3 hours,
Oh my gosh.
No.
So if you're flying with 11, that's someone's got to fly alone in a row by themselves.
Yeah, you got to, Yeah.
You got to do the three rows of three.
Yeah.
Or no, the two and threes. Yeah.
Depends.
I got a college degree. I just did that math in my head.
Math.
I didn't sign up for math, so.
No, we went down to Anna Marie Island. We flew this year because last year, If you're a Hoosier, I know there's a lot of Hoosiers. We go to spring break down south, go get warm for a week, right?
Yep, yep.
And so the trip, usually, if you're going to Florida, if you have to go through Atlanta, is just horrendous.
Yep.
We got stuck for 3 hours last year going through Atlanta. So we were like, we're going to beat the whole situation. We're going to fly to Florida.
All right.
So we found out we could fly cheaper out of Cincinnati. So we drive to Cincinnati to fly out of Cincinnati.
Yeah.
We walk into the airport in Cincy thinking, here we go. It's going to be an awesome trip. Let's start this thing. And there are literally hundreds upon hundreds of suitcases.
Oh, no.
Strewn everywhere across just stacks of them in the Cincinnati airport.
Whose are they?
The apocalypse.
Where are the people?
Free luggage day at Cincinnati, yeah.
That's what I wanted to know. So we start asking around. Sorry, folks. The conveyor belt system here in Cincy has been broke since last night at midnight.
Oh, that's super convenient.
So right out of the bat, they're like, you may not get your bags for a few days.
So we're
packing random stuff into bags that we can get on the plane, whatever. Yeah. We get on the plane. And our baggage finally gets there. No big deal with that. But we get to Atlanta, and we knew we had 40 minutes to get to our plane, right?
40, okay.
So if you've been to Atlanta, big airport, you got to get on the tram and take it, whatever.
Ugh,
so we land. We're like, you know, we've got time. We know we got all these kids, but they can run. They're athletic. So,
or they will be before it's over.
Right. Come on, let's go.
So we land, and then there's another plane in the way of our gate, which delays us pulling into our plane parking space.
So we're like, okay,
this is getting a little dicey. We're like in row 8,000 of the plane.
Oh, of course.
So that's going to take a minute. Mm-hmm. We get off the plane and we begin running towards our gate. right?
Like and we're sprinting? Running.
Yes, it's the full on run. We're
Home Alone style.
Yes. We're dragging kids
Come on,
through
Knox,
the airport.
McAllister, party of 20. Sorry, that's a Home Alone reference for any of you out there listening.
And if you're listening right now, this is Radio Theology. I'm Darren Erlewine, your host, telling you a story about what happened on spring break. And if you can identify right now, maybe your blood is boiling because you have a spring break story of a terrible travel. Call in tonight, 317-228-1099. We want to hear your story. But so we get to the gate. And I can see my kids up there. We get to this gate. Delta is, you know, I shouldn't stop, maybe stop throwing Delta under the bus. But we get to the gate. Yes. And the kids have this perplexing look on their face, like, what's happening?
Yeah.
We get there and we're like cheering, high-fiving everybody. The door's still open. We made it. Yes. We're going to Florida. And the lady at the gate just starts calling out other people's names.
No.
And she's not looking at us or like, it's like we're ghosts. We're like, can we get on the plane now? Because should we beep them through the beep the thing and get on? No talking to us.
Was she giving away your seats for standby?
No.
Yes, Ryan.
If so, that is the boldest thing in the world. Don't do that.
We have seven children. Seven children, four adults, and she is calling. It's like, we're like, hey, should we scan? Can we just get on? Johnson, passenger Johnson. Get on the plane. We're like, wait a second. We have
We're
tickets.
Right here.
We're right here. We can see. I can hear you talking. Why aren't you saying my name?
Just scan
you know
it.
What I mean, some other name. You know, John Doe, party of six. Yeah. You guys can get on the plane. People are jumping up, high fiving each other, running onto the plane.
They got your seats.
Oh, and so I eventually I lose it. I'm like, you can see me.
I am real.
Speak to me.
Yeah, that wasn't very pastoral.
No. Well. No. I had some pastoral thoughts for them. Tell you what. So anyway, the supervisor comes over. We end up getting bumped off of our plane. They released our seats too early. The people got in trouble for it. They got us on two other flights. We finally got to Florida, no problem. But man, oh man.
Oh, brother. Gosh.
I thought my wife, she's from the South.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's any Southern women out there, but if you fire up a Southern woman with all of her children, like get a Southern woman into a mama bear situation. Mm-hmm. Because our kids are now crying because the spring break is not happening is what they think.
Oops.
It was a situation. But that great lady from Delta, I can't remember her name, but she did really come through and help us out. So kudos to her. But anyway, listen, that was my story. There was another story coming back. We got bumped back for 6 hours because I guess there was tornadoes and stuff this week and craziness.
Yeah.
And so Delta, I get it. Your hub is little Anta. Tough stuff.
Yeah.
But we still have friends right now that are stuck down in Florida. Can't get back till tomorrow.
First world problems, man.
I know. Yep. Seriously.
First world problems.
So you couldn't get to your travel destination and sit on a beach and tan all week.
An extra day in Florida. Oh, no.
Sorry. Now I feel like a jerk.
No, it's
anyway,
all good.
We want to hear your stories tonight on Radio Theology. It's Faith, Hope, Love, and Music right here on 99.5 ZPL. Give us a call, 317-228-1099.
This is Radio Theology with Pub Pastor Darren on 99.5 ZPL.
This is Radio Theology. What we are going to start doing each week is you guys have been texting in and tweeting in and Facebooking and actually some calls with our new segment called Ask a Pastor.
Yes.
Because what we realize is that, you know, we're just your little, like, once a week, little installment of faith, hope, and love in hits right here on 99.5 ZPL. But there's got to be questions that we all have, right? And sometimes we've got really good questions about God and the Bible and stuff like that. But we don't have a good place to ask them, and a lot of times we don't get good answers. And we don't guarantee our answers are going to be good, but we do guarantee that there's a place you can ask them.
Yeah, we just have a big wheel that we're going to spin, and that's going to be the answer.
Yep. Space. Yeah.
No, just kidding. Just kidding.
So we did get a call during the break. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to be on live, that's okay.
Totally.
But if you have a question, you can call in or you can Facebook us or whatever. Like the Facebook page or just go to RadioTheology.com. Like the page. Send us a question for Ask a Pastor. But Katie, what was our question that came tonight?
Well, two-parter.
Okay.
What does God want for me and what does God want me to do?
Ooh, good.
Love it.
Question. Our first ever Ask a Pastor segment right here on 99.5 ZPL.
Kind of deep right there.
It is pretty deep. Just kind of deep into the pool right off the bat here on Radio Theology. So the first question is, what does God want what now?
What does God want for me?
What does God want for you? I would say what God wants for you is two things. He wants freedom for you.
Yep.
And by freedom, I don't mean he wants you to be an American, right? But what I mean
go on down
by
to
that,
Talladega.
Yeah, go on Talladega. Get an American flag on.
Do a Bible study.
Yeah, it's
drink Coors Light.
It's not about Lee Greenwood. What I'm saying is one of the things that the Bible does say is that God came to set us free. And so I think one of the things God wants from us, he wants us free from things that steal our joy, that steal our love, that steal our ability to live life to the full. And I think that's the second thing I would say is I think the two things that God wants from you is he wants you to live a life of freedom and he wants you to live a life to the full. And that's actually wrapped up in a relationship with him. And not something where you just go to church and kind of check the box like, yeah, I did that because I want him to be happy. He's actually really quite fond of you already because he made you. And so he wants freedom for your life from the things that try to take away from you. And he wants, what was the other thing?
To live life to the full.
Life to the full.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was thinking and I was listening to music in the background and I got
so confused.
I feel like I'm walking through like
emotionally.
I'm like walking through Nordstrom with this piano music in the background. Kind of nice.
Yeah.
Might have to tweak the background music next week.
Yeah.
It's sentimental, okay?
Okay. It's good. I get it.
All right. I also have sentimental music too.
Oh, that's nice.
Ryan, you got anything to add to this?
I liked what you said about the relationship with God. You know, this is what's cool. There's a great book out there. It's called With, actually, is the name of the book, by a guy named Sky Jathani, who's a Christian kind of thought leader and pastor. And, you know, the whole book is about really the whole book, his book, but the whole book of the Bible is about God's desire to have a relationship with us. And so much that Jesus's name, when he was born, Emmanuel, was the name that was given to the shepherds, Darren, or the pastor.
Who gave him the name?
No. The guys that
God.
Oh, the angel came to the shepherds and said his name will be Emmanuel,
which is God with
God
us.
With us. Yeah. And my whole point is that there is it's not, you know, living your life for God or living your life from God, like, you know, hey, God, give me your stuff, but stay over there and I'll call you when I need you.
Yeah.
But it's a life with God.
Yeah.
And I do think that separates Christianity from a lot of the different major world religions is that, you know, this whole thing is built on a relationship, not a religion.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
This is Radio Theology on 995 ZPL. Yeah. We're doing a new segment called Ask a Pastor, and we got our first question in tonight. So what was it? There was a second
part
of the question, right,
yeah.
Katie?
What does God want me to do?
Do.
Can I start this one?
Yes.
Even though I'm not a pastor?
Do it.
Okay. Let love be your highest goal. That's in the Bible several times. And it is basically like if you're like, oh, what's God's will for my life? That's such a huge question that is so nuts to try to answer.
Yeah.
And usually it's not like, ta-da, here it is. It's like, take one baby step. And that baby step starts with living a life of love for yourself and a love for others.
Yeah.
And then those doors and opportunities open. So as you are becoming more like God through the love, those doors and opportunities present itself and then you're on the right path.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. I think we talk about Jesus quite a bit on the show because we're kind of a big fan. And one of the things that I really dig about Jesus' life, if you look at like, I actually believe this. Some people don't. But if he actually was the Son of God, if he actually was God, was on earth, right?
Yeah.
If we want to figure out, okay, now what does God really want from my life? Well, you just kind of look like, what did Jesus do with the dudes he hung out with all the time?
Okay.
Right? So the thing I like about it is that he had a relationship. Like, they hung out all the time. They ate, they drank, they went to weddings, they helped people, they healed people.
Played Scrabble, maybe? I don't know.
I'm going to go with
Scrabble. They probably invented their own, like, game, like a Scrabble.
Yahtzee. Maybe like a Pictionary.
All right, sorry, keep going.
In the sand?
They may have put,
yeah, in the sand. Looks like a camel.
I'm
oh,
sure.
Dang it. Yeah. You always
Two hops.
Judas, you always draw camels.
Good Lord, we've lost control.
Sorry.
Anyway, so there was a relationship part of it. But what I like about it is that he was there for people to ask these exact questions.
Yeah.
Like, people came to Jesus all the time like, hey, like, what's the most important thing in life? Like, what do you want from me? Yeah. And often Jesus boiled it down to two things. Like, and it's exactly what you just said. He says, well, you know, first and foremost, you know, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then guess what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love other people. So it really does come down to, like, what does he want from your life? He wants love.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that helps you tonight.
Yeah.
If you have a thought on it, you can send a message to us through Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. It's all Radio Theology. Or if you want to jump in the conversation tonight, we'd love for you to do that. 317-228-1099.
This is Radio Theology with Pub Pastor Darren on 99.5 ZPL.
And we are in the midst of a conversation that we're trying something new tonight.
Yeah.
And so far, it's gone pretty well. A bit we're calling Ask a Pastor, which, you know, a lot of times church is not set up to be an actual conversation, right? You sing, maybe.
Right.
And then some guy talks to you for 35 minutes or so, and you probably, like, you get confused or maybe even just zone out halfway through it. I was at church this morning, and I got kind of distracted a couple different times. Not that the sermon wasn't good, but I'm a pastor guy, and I'm like, I stopped. I wasn't paying attention.
What was that?
So
Well, we've
Can
tried
you back
to,
up?
Yes. Could you say that right? again?
Is that book towards the front of the Bible or the back?
What page are we on?
Zephaniah. I ain't never heard of that.
So there's lots of questions that you have about life, and you don't ever get a chance. Don't always get a chance to ask him. And so what we want to do is create this a moment every show here on Radio Theology where you can ask a pastor. I am actually a real licensed pastor, the real deal.
Licensed, and, certified.
Certified, ordained, yep. The whole nine yards.
Right online.
Now, there are a handful of people in this city that are don't know that they agree that I still should be.
Oh, yeah.
But that's for a different show.
Yeah. They don't have their own show.
But we do have. Yeah.
Is he the guy with the spiky hair and he wears Jordans sometimes?
That's him.
I don't know if I like
pastor.
Him. He drinks beer, doesn't
he's
he?
The beer guy.
He's the beer guy. He's the beer
sure
pastor.
Sure, Jesus
beer
is upset and
the beer battered
than
pastor.
Tasty.
Tasty.
All right.
Sorry, let's get this back on the rails.
We have a question.
We do have a question. Let's jump live to line one with Donna. Donna, what's up? Welcome to Radio Theology.
Hi.
Hi, Donna.
Hey.
How's your evening going, Donna?
Great. I just got off work.
Right on. Well, you have a question for us?
I do. I've been, me and my husband have foster children, and we've had the two set of children now for 19 months.
Well, that's wonderful. I know that's an absolutely amazing thing to do, but I know it's also a very difficult thing to be a foster parent. So thank you for being there for those kids.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. We didn't get into foster parenting, you know, to like just be foster parents. It was kind of like an accidental thing, and then they're still here 19 months later. But we love them so much.
Absolutely.
My question is I don't really know how to pray about the situation because I want to say I want these parents to drop off the planet and go away.
Right on.
But I know that's not what God wants me to do. But at the same time, it's like they keep dragging these cases out, the case out, for instance, you know, they'll be clean for a couple months and then they'll see the kids and then they'll go back to, you know, have a relapse. And then right before court, 6 months again later, they want their life back. They want their kids back.
Sure.
And the baby will be two in July. And we've had her since she was 3 months old.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And I just.
So how have you been praying, Donna? We'll start with that.
Well, I've been praying that, God, you know my heart and you know where I am and I want your will to be done, but also I want these kids to be safe and sure. I just can't imagine them being safe with their parents.
Yeah. Right.
And just know that I will always keep them safe as possible. Not that I am like the gold card of safeness, but compared to the previous life they had, it's scary.
Yeah.
And what's so hard is I have no control or no say in these children's situation. The caseworker can say tomorrow that they're going home if that's how it works.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest part. The hardest part is not loving them and letting them go. The hardest part is having no control over the situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Ryan,
in children that become yours.
Yeah.
Like, I birthed these children as much as I love them. Yeah. I have four of my own. And I love them no more or no less than my other children.
Yeah.
Donna, this is Ryan. I just want to commend you for what you and your family are doing. Like Darren said, that's just an amazing blessing that you're able to give these kids. I know my sister is comes from a story of adoption, and she's actually adopted three kids. And just, you know, opening up your home and your life and your heart to children who aren't biologically yours just takes an amazing, amazing person to do it. And I would encourage you with one of my favorite verses that's in the book of James. It's James chapter 1, verse 5, and it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." And I know you've been asking him, and I would just encourage you, stay patient, you know, because sometimes God doesn't necessarily answer the way that we want to or when we want to. But I think if we stay faithful in prayer, he's going to stay faithful in answering that. And I would just encourage you to remain faithful and patient in prayer in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've never prayed as much as I have in my life that I have for these foster children. Mm. And I know that God's bringing me closer to him through the children. And I can see that as a vision for him. And I feel like, you know, because like I said before, you know, like my own children, I've kind of had, like, you know, I know what the next day entails or what kind of background they came from. And, you know, you think you have a plan for them, but these other these are these children. That's all not in your hands.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking to Donna. We're talking to Donna right now on Radio Theology on 995 ZPL. We're doing a segment right now called Ask the Pastor, and we're talking to Donna because she is she's an amazing lady. She's a foster parent. So if you're out there, maybe you got some advice from Donna, or maybe you're in the same situation. Just want you to know how to pray for the situation, because she's got these four foster kids she loves like her own. She's had them for 19 months, but their birth situation is not the best, not the maybe the safest situation. And so want to know, you know, how she can pray about it. If you got maybe a thought you want to help Donna out, maybe help us out in this conversation tonight, you can call in 317-228-1099. But Lisa, you got a thought for Donna?
Yeah, what I was going to say is, Donna, there sounds like part of you is angry, and I think that's totally valid. I think it's fine for you to get angry because of an injustice that you see might happen.
Yeah.
And I think if you ever read through the Psalms in the Bible, those are like the easiest things for me to read in the Bible and understand. But lots of them go through the anger and the turmoil and all of the injustice and the crying out and asking and asking for patience and all of that. But most end with a peace. So I would, as you're praying, get through all of the emotions, but then try to get to and ask God for a place of peace to give you a little calm in your heart as you're ending your prayers.
It's a good word.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Donna, I really do appreciate you calling in tonight, and let us be a part of your journey. I know there's probably tons of people listening right now that just, you know, being able to be part of the conversation, hear where you're going through, what you're going through tonight, I think is very, very helpful. And I would encourage you to is I love what you said about what you have already been praying, and ask them God's will to be done. And I think the tough thing for us to really understand as human beings is that we really can't control other people. We really want to. And I think a lot of times the struggle with any of our prayers, whether it's about foster kids or it's about our job or our kids or whatever, is so often I think we really want to try to control the outcome of the situation.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think this one situation is obviously heightened because you got a situation with these kids where their you know, origin of birth family, you know, right now is struggling, making some tough decisions and poor decisions. But you know what? The crazy part about this, Donna, is, and this would be a tough one, I think, to accept, but what if part of the story is that, you know, your love for these kids for these 19 months somehow has given their parents a chance to really turn their life around and change things. And I know, you know, in your mind, that's probably not the outcome you want, because you would love to stay and protect these kids and keep them safe. But I think you're in a great place of what you've been praying and saying, listen, God, you know my heart on this, but I want your will to be done, and I trust you in this. And I love what Ryan said, is saying, you know what, God, I need wisdom, and then move into the next day making the decisions that are in front of you, and know that you're going to have his ability to help you make those wise choices. So thank you so much, Donna, for calling in. I hope maybe we helped you out a little bit tonight on Radio Theology. And please keep listening and call in if you have another question.
Radio Theology is on 99.5 ZPL. Now, an update on the ever-expanding Lisa.
And you thought she was big before.
Oh, boy. No one feels bigger than I do right now. I'm like, I need to, like, spread my legs to, like, let my belly rest on the seat.
I picked you
it's
up.
Like a weird.
I picked you up for the show tonight. I was like, Lisa, you are very pregnant.
Yes, and but from the walk from my front door to get something from my car to your car, yeah. I was sweating.
Yeah, you were winded when
wow.
you got in
yeah,
the car.
Yeah, we're in the serious prime time. I have like 6.5 weeks left.
This is the home stretch.
We're in the home stretch, yes.
So how many weeks are you now?
It's 33
and so, half weeks. So for, yeah. for right. some maybe men out there that don't know the gestational period
good
of
good usage of gestational, humans? By the way.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
That's
you're
impressive.
Welcome. You're welcome. It's how long to actually
you go
fully,
all the way to 40.
40.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
All right.
I have a question for you.
Hit me.
Are you going to have your baby before that giraffe does?
That stupid giraffe.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
The giraffe on the webcam.
Oh, April the giraffe. She might be lying to keep her man.
See, I thought it was like an April Fool's Day prank. Use of lying.
I didn't even make that up. I saw that on Facebook. But
yeah, she's
thank
been
you
on a webcam forever.
Forever.
See,
yeah.
I thought it was like an April Fool's Day prank, and they just were letting it go until then.
No,
nope, still.
Forever.
And when giraffes are born, they have to drop like 9 feet.
Yeah.
In a sloppy, awkward mess onto the ground.
Lisa's baby doesn't have to drop 9 feet.
Hopefully not. We got the good doctors at IU North.
Can we
catch that baby?
Yeah. Can we webcam your birth?
Oh, boy.
Sure.
They'll just pixelate it out.
Didn't you agree? Might
have to stay north of the Mason-Dixon line. Yeah, hello. If you know what I'm talking about.
It's a little messy. Anyway, so what's going on with your pregnancy this week?
Oh, my gosh, you guys. Still the milkshakes. I can't. Oh. And the jelly donuts. I cannot stop. It is like there is a sickness inside me, and I'm going to have to start weaning myself off.
Baby.
Because when the baby comes, it's like, well, shoot, I've already gained 30 pounds. I probably have another 5 at least to go.
So how many jelly donuts would you say you'd champ a week?
Only like 3.
Oh.
How many milkshakes?
Like 2 or 3. Okay. Right. So not you're like bad collectively. Like
so what we're saying but is daily you're either going jelly donut or milkshake.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. All right. Yeah. Though the other day I did, I was up in my hometown and they have Taco John's.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Taco John's.
Look, freshman year at IU. Foster Food Court, one of the best dorms on campus. Don't know if it still is. Doesn't matter. They had a Taco John's.
Yes. Yeah.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing! And
so
I went for second lunch. You know,
yeah,
like you do.
Second lunch, right.
Yeah, sure.
And I scarfed my meat and potato burrito in the car, just like a fat girl. It was awesome. Like I should be ashamed right now, but I'm not.
You're like, I've earned this.
Yes, and also my hormones. I have not been emotionally steady this entire pregnancy. It's been a real treat for me and everyone else involved. And so Josie's been crying at night. You know when we. You know, tried to tuck her in. She's been, you know, throwing fits or crying or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So last week I was like, ain't nobody got time for this. I don't even have time to hear you cry
because
I just want to go to bed.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm just going to come in. I'm going to sit next to you. And so I started singing to her.
Mm-hmm.
So I was singing hymns to her because I love hymns.
Oh.
Okay. And so she's quiet. She's loving it. Well, tears rolling down my cheeks. She's fine in the bed. I come in to comfort her.
You're ruining
the song
because you're crying.
Yes. Yes. And then I'm like, okay, you can cry. And then she's like, Mommy, what's wrong? Are you crying? I'm like, I'm fine. You know, she doesn't understand. No, she's confused. She's wide awake like, huh?
She wanted to hear the third verse of Amazing Grace.
Well, mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so I got lost in the story. You're trying to comfort her at night to get her to go back to sleep.
Yeah, to get her to go to sleep in the first place.
So instead of a lullaby, let's go with a hymn.
Yeah,
old
school
right.
Hymn.
Sweet hymn.
Sure.
And I'm like, I'm gonna sing until she's asleep.
And now you've made it an emotional situation. Where
for
now
me.
She's concerned about you.
Yes,
your
2-year-old
is right. Trying
she's
to console
she
you.
She is the queen of empathy going, Mommy? Yeah. And I'm like, eh. And then in my head, I'm like, don't sing Amazing Grace.
Oh.
And don't sing it as well, because those are the 2 songs I sang at Ryan's grandma's funeral.
Oof.
Last August.
Yeah.
I sang both of those songs.
Wow.
And I'm like, why are you doing this? Stop. Just stop. Because she doesn't care if you cut it off, but I can't. As a musician, you have to just go all the way to the end.
Yeah.
It was brutal.
Gosh.
You got to power through.
You're like, don't sing
I finally
Amazing
settled
Grace.
Myself
don't sing
down.
Amazing Grace. Yeah. Amazing.
It just popped right out. And I'm like, what's wrong with me? There's no logic or reason.
Pregnancy brain, right? That's a real thing, isn't
it's
it?
It's a real thing, they say.
Has it gotten worse, like, the more pregnant you've gotten?
Well, the more pregnant and the more I become a mother, I'm like, how am I going to keep myself together for the next 18, 25 years? I don't know. Oh,
lots of Franzia wine. That's how my mom did it. The box wine.
Oh, 2 Franzia. Yeah,
really classy.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, so anyway. Oh, boy. So we made it through that night. Barely. And I come down and Ryan's like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, you don't even want to know. I'm not even going to tell you. I'm just going to go to bed.
It's just a beautiful hymn.
Oh, yes. Oh, if you listen to the words, I'm great as my faithfulness. I mean, yeah. I mean, you just can't. But this week, in self-care.
Yes.
I got my hair did.
You are a self-care guru.
Yes. I love my self-care, and I saw an opportunity to sit in a stylist chair for 2 hours and get highlights. And then I went through a little moment where I was like, I'm maybe headed towards a crisis since I'm going to be a mother of 2 now.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
And I need some hot pink in my hair.
So
I did a little hot pink.
A little
peekaboo highlight, they call it.
Oh, peekaboo highlight.
The problem is it doesn't peek out very much, and now I want like my whole head dyed hot pink. I don't know. I got the taste, and I'm like, self-control must win in this situation.
Can you get your hair like crazy pink while you're pregnant? Or is it to melt through your brain?
Yeah, you can. Oh, yeah.
And then the baby comes out with pink
hair. Some people say,
and
if you disagree, I don't want, you should not call us, but yeah.
Wait a second. She's about to give her opinion, and she just told our entire listening audience, you cannot disagree with me.
No,
you
can't.
Gotta agree.
Okay. Phone lines are closed here.
She'll try. Don't call.
Let me tell you, it's science that, the chemicals that they use to dye your hair or whatever, it doesn't get into your bloodstream and hurt your baby.
Okay.
Isn't it like ammonia and something? Yeah.
Yeah, it's whatever.
Kids are
fine. It's fine. They're resilient.
They'll live.
Right. He's floating in a sack of his own pee, for crying out loud. I mean, he's fine.
Yeah.
Everything's fine.
Boys are weak.
So anyway.
So you got your hair did, but you're now addicted to the fact that you just need a little more pink.
I want a little more pink.
I got you.
Is this your midwife crisis?
It might be. Okay. Love it. Ooh.
And I'm going to knock the microphone while I'm at it.
Yeah.
So I don't remember if you said or not. How big is your baby?
Oh my gosh. We didn't even get there. It's celery. Celery this week.
Like a stalk, like a giant.
Like a bag. Lean like
or
the
a
whole
bushel.
Stalk.
Whole bag of celery.
The whole bag.
Organic or not?
I'm into that.
No, yeah, not organic.
Pretty big. Slap some peanut butter, throw some raisins, little ant on the
ants
log. You know what I'm saying,
Doc?
What are those called? Ants on a log?
Ants on a log, man.
Yes.
Yep, that's my baby.
Lisa's got an ants on a log inside of her tummy.
When a mommy loves a daddy, out comes some celery.
Wow. You heard it first here on Radio Theology.
Can't get weirder than this. So.
Nope. Oh, wow.
On that note, we'll give you a song that's probably going to talk about something that's similar to ants on a log and Lisa's stomach. This is Radio Theology on 99.5 ZPL.
Now, the Radio Theology Thought of the Night.
So I just got back from an amazing week of rest and relaxation on spring break. And here's the deal. You may think that you're too busy to take a break, but I would say you're too human not to. Since I have multiple jobs and three kids, a wife, a dog, my life tends to get pretty busy. Whenever someone asks me how I'm doing, it always feels good to say something like, oh, you know, I'm just really busy. In fact, I find some kind of weird satisfaction often when someone assumes that I must be really busy. It seems like being overly busy is some sort of badge of honor or accomplishment. There's something about that that feels really backwards. I think I've said it before and I'll probably say it again, but we're not called human doings, but we're human beings. And the last time I checked, human beings need breaks. We need a rest. We need a rhythm to live by. And God knew this when he created us. That's why he gave us a weekly, you know, rhythm to live by. We're created and designed to work 6 days and rest one. And when we get too busy, we need to take a break. And when we don't, it affects every part of us. Before you know it, this drive to accomplish so much, it begins to actually make us dizzy around everything else in our life. It affects our emotions and our ability to think straight, our health, our spiritual perspective, even maybe our sex drive. This week, as I sat around on a beach trying to do my best to actually do nothing, I could actually sense myself getting healthier. My perspective on what really mattered most was solidified and focused. My dedication to get back to actually eating well and exercising began to become more clear. Even my desire to get home and get back to work was actually re-energized and refocused. Now, you may be thinking, you're not able to take a week away and go to the beach. That might be true, but what could you do this week, maybe this day or every week, to take at least a day and rest? You may think you're too busy to take a break. I would say you're way too human not to. And that, my friends, is your Radio Theology Thought of the Night.